Welcome to Pop Culture Mad Children. Sorry, I'm laughing because I wasn't recording before. This is Mike Lingiorno. We didn't miss too much. By the way, I've done that twice in a row. I did that last week too. This is Mike Lingiorno. This is Pop Culture Mad Children. If you've never listened to Pop Culture Mad Children, this is a show where guys sit around and girls, people sit around, and we talk about nostalgia, and we talk about Star Wars, and we talk about cartoons, and we talk about video games, and we talk about books we're reading, and comics, and toys, and all the things we love, and we're not negative, and we're not neckbeards, and we're not giving you a sophisticated video essay about everything that's wrong with Kathleen Kennedy. This is a show about enjoying pop culture. I am Mike Buongiorno. With me today is my good friend, Vin Forte.
Hey.
Vin.
Based on this room, we're talking Star Wars, we're talking Doctor Who, and we're talking I Love Lucy.
Yeah, I got it all. I got it all. I got a Chris Sorrentino original up there.
Whoa.
I got an Iron Man. I've got my collectible Doctor Who Barbie.
Oh, man.
I've got a whole Masters of the Universe section. That's a new section.
Oh.
Masters of the Universe. And, all right, well, for anyone playing Pop Culture Man Children Bingo, 1 minute in and I made a He-Man reference, so just mark that off on your board. So, Vin, how are you?
Good. I've been very tired since the daylight saving.
I think that when a culture no longer, when no one can remember why you do it, it's time to stop doing it. I can't get a straight answer. Some people say farmers. Some people say something else. It's like, why did we ever do it? Why do we still do it?
I don't know. You better check the Farmer's Almanac, see if it's correct.
I didn't get mine this year.
I don't know.
I'm tired, too. I'm fucked up.
I've been, and I'm doubly tired because I've been up all weekend playing Tetris.
Oh, that was Emilio's obsession a couple weeks ago.
Really?
Emilio's still sick, by the way. So he'll be back. He hasn't left the show.
Has he been playing? Because I've been playing a very specific version of Tetris that just came out on the Switch.
No, he's been playing Tetris, I think, on like...
On like his Game Boy?
No, on like his phone or something.
Oh, okay.
Or his tablet.
Because there's a new version that just came out on the Switch.
Oh, really?
And if you have the Nintendo like online service, which is only $20 for the whole year.
For the whole year,
for
really?
For the whole year. You get this for free. It's called Tetris 99.
Whoa, okay.
And it's basically you're playing Tetris against 98 other people.
Oh, I really thought it was like 1999 style.
No, I don't know what that would be.
Every time a piece locks in, you hear Prince go, you don't have to be beautiful.
Oh, I would love to play Purple Tetris.
Anyway.
But yeah, you play Tetris against 98 other people in like a huge Tetris Battle Royale.
That's pretty intense.
It's very intense and it's very
addictive. How high have you ranked?
I've ranked 5.
That's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I'm that's not to toot my own horn, but I've always been good at Tetris, at the Tetris.
Oh shit. I mean, toot. You toot that horn.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid of that.
I go to the bars, I tell the women straight up, I'm good at Tetris. I bust out and then I take my phone out and that song is on cue.
Alright, let's talk about some news. For a long time, alright, so a new trailer for Aladdin dropped. We're not going to talk about it in Trailer Corner. We have better trailers to talk about. But the interesting thing is, for a long time, there was no entry for Iago on IMDb. And some people were like, is it going to be Gilbert Gottfried? Yeah. Are they going to fuck him over? Have we forgiven him for his tsunami joke? Or is there no Iago at all? Today came out that it's going to be Alan Tudyk. Of course. I mean,
yeah, I get it.
Alan Tudyk, he's been good as the villain in Doom Patrol.
But Gilbert Gottfried's still alive.
Yeah.
And you know what? In The Lion King, they're bringing back James Earl Jones.
And I think, when I think James Earl Jones, I think same level Gilbert Gottfried.
I feel like in every one of these live action Disney movies they're doing now,
yeah,
these remakes, one person. Bring back one person.
Yeah, I see no reason to not. Because he's not going to...
He's not dead.
Yeah.
Stop pretending like he's dead.
I mean, I like Alan Tudyk, but I feel like if you think about like the kind of person that Gilbert Gottfried is, the kind of celebrity he is, aren't there better people? Like, think about... I think making Billy Eichner Nathan Lane's part in the new Lion King. That's a smart move.
Yeah.
Because they're similar in certain ways.
Or like John Oliver as Zazu.
Perfect, right?
Yeah.
So who would be better for Iago?
Oh, man. Jesus. Because that's a harder one. Because it's like, who's today's Gilbert Gottfried?
I'm trying to think specifically of who's got a voice.
Bobcat Goldthwait?
No, but he could have done not, it then.
Yeah, like, that's the thing. He could have done it then. Who's got a voice today?
I'm sure this will come to me in the shower later.
I know. This could come to me like when I'm in the middle of a big exam or something.
And I'll be like, oh, there it is. Well, Alan Tudyk. I like Alan Tudyk, but I mean, he'll be good. It'll.
You know what? Here's one.
Yeah.
Maria Bamford.
Uh-oh. Gender swap. Whoa. Bah, 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 bah. How you feel about that, MRAs? Please don't dox me. All right.
What was that? MREs?
MRAs.
MRAs.
Men's rights activists.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll give you some pamphlets after the show. So, something else that came out that I'm interested in, Disney Plus, which we keep hearing about, we still don't have a date for when it comes out. It's still just happening.
It's going to come out for my grandkids.
We keep hearing new things. Last time we were talking about all the new Star Wars shows at Disney Plus. Disney Plus, under their Marvel banner, is doing a What If show based on their classic What If comics.
So, like, what if Spider-Man joined the Fantastic Four?
Right. What if... you know, someone else picked up Thor's hammer. Mm. What if Punisher killed all of Marvel, which was one that I loved.
Huh.
And they're gonna base it on a lot of the original What If issues, and then make new What Ifs. That's really exciting, because if you don't know what the What If comics were, it was basically like for the writers and artists to just play. It was like, you're going to get a story that's a single issue, or sometimes it was double issues.
And, like, oh yeah, because they've done a couple where it's... The two that stand out to me that they go back to are, like, someone joins the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Like, Frasier joins the Fantastic Four. And someone gets the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yeah. There was also a weird one where it was, like, what if Stan Lee and the rest of the writers for Marvel became the Fantastic Four?
Really?
Yeah, that was one that actually happened.
I wish, because I bought the trade when it came out. This was a DC line. Uh-huh. But it was, what if Stan Lee created... And it was like,
I remember that.
And it was like, what if Stan Lee created Batman...
Superman. His Superman was very cool. He had a white suit with, like,
yeah,
rainbow...
I liked his Batman, which was like this incarcerated black guy.
Yeah.
Who only... His only friend in prison was a bat.
So and it's like Birdman of Alcatraz.
Yeah.
Batman of Arkham.
Yeah. It was really weird.
Yeah, that was... I remember that. What ifs are fun because... It allows you to just play in that world without any consequences.
Yeah. Or you could just do more like one-off stories. Like, I love Superman Red Sun.
Oh, that was a good
one. Like, make that a movie. Like, that I would
was,
love to see that.
What if Superman didn't land in Kansas in America? What if he landed in the Soviet Union during the Cold War and he grew up there? What would he be?
Bernie Sanders.
Oh, no, not really. yeah, the what ifs are always fun. There have been a couple of what ifs over the last couple of years of like, what if Deadpool killed Marvel? And it was just like, Deadpool kills every character.
Yeah, there's a ton you could. What if AOC joined Teen Titans?
Yeah, that was a good one. She was great. She taught him how to dance. I'm excited about that. Still, we have no idea on when Disney Plus is happening.
No, they keep announcing, they're like, hey, guess what's coming to Disney Plus? I'm like, Disney Plus better be coming to Disney Plus.
You want an Obi-Wan show? Yes, I do. Please give it to me. Well, we're going to have one.
When?
Stay tuned. I mean, like, take my money already, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah, like, it's not like there's no demand for this. They already announced this week that every Disney movie ever is going to be on it.
And Mike Fischetti was on the show recently, and he was talking about something that I haven't heard about that I'm excited about, which is they're doing a docu-series about Imagineers making rides and stuff.
That's interesting.
How fucking cool is that? Give me it! I want it right now!
Do it. They're doing like a Loki series. They're doing everything.
Yeah, Tom Hiddleston.
I know, but it's like they're breaking out their big stars.
Yeah, the stars are all out. They are... I can't... What if it's just a big troll? It never happens.
Disney Blush just never happens?
Yeah, yeah. All right. All right. So the last thing I want to talk about, it's not really a news story, but it's something I read today and I sent it to you because I wanted to get your opinion on it because it's been something I've been thinking about. It's also something that I'm right now teaching a class on digital cultures. So I've been thinking about the First Amendment and how it pertains to the internet and how we regulate the internet, or if we should regulate the internet. And it was a piece...
it was on Rotten Tomatoes.
Right. It was about Rotten Tomatoes. Yeah. Yeah, and it was about what I talked about on the episode with Janine Gagliardi, which was that it got review bombed.
Yeah.
And then Rotten Tomatoes was like, you know what, fuck it, we're getting rid of early reviews. And then the day it came out, it got review bombed again. Yeah. It got more reviews on the day it came out than Infinity War got in its entire run. And they were all new accounts. It was all just review bombing.
You know what didn't stop Captain Marvel from becoming one of the most successful Marvel movies ever?
Right. But the thing is, and this article was about, and I'm going to look up the author of it because it was an interesting piece and you should read it. But it was about how YouTube has started regulating more, like now, like with Brie Larson from Captain Marvel. If you put Brie Larson into the search engine, they basically re-tag things. So like instead of, if you put in Brie Larson a month ago, you would have gotten nothing but hate videos.
Yeah.
Where now you get more mainstream sources.
Mm.
But part of me feels like, as someone who does a podcast, why should a CBS interview with Brie Larson be shuffled to the top of the pile and not me? I'm not putting out hate. And I'm not defending haters. But like, I know people, let's go back to Last Jedi. I know people who are intellectual and don't like it for real reasons.
Now they're going to get shut out.
Yeah, don't hate women. They just don't like the movie. And they get lumped in with all these other people. I don't know, do we regulate the internet? And by the way, we act like the internet's free. It's already not that free. You know, Google, if I Google something, you Google something, we'll get different results based on what Google already knows about us and wants to sell us.
Yeah, if I'm logged into Google.
Yeah.
Or, you don't even need to be logged in. They have your cookies. But
right, exactly. You
know,
so it's like,
they know what you're looking at. I was on a stream with someone the other day.
Mm-hmm.
And when the stream was over, they didn't turn to me because we weren't in the same room. But yeah. they told me, they're like, huh. I'm like, what? They're like, I'm looking at all my YouTube suggestions now, and it's all stuff we were talking about. And it was like one after the other, like literally almost like topic by topic.
Wow.
Like stuff we were talking about.
You know what I saw recently? Oh, was it? I think it might have been Amazon. I was just, because I've been doing a lot of research for my class. Different people in different areas would get different prices for things.
Oh, yeah. I've heard
of that. If you were more affluent, they would charge you more for something.
Yeah.
Amazon. Allegedly, or not allegedly, but I don't have the evidence right now to back it up.
Yeah.
So all right. So we've got a problem, which is people online that not just have an opinion, but like want to run people off Twitter, want to fuck with Rotten Tomatoes score, mm-hmm. want to be disruptors. How do you stop that? Where is the line that you draw? And should we?
I don't know. This came up.
This is a tough question.
This came up a while ago because it's also an issue of sites like Rotten Tomatoes,
yeah.
Sites like YouTube. Even if you really want to go for it, a site like Google.
Yeah.
These are all private entities that are just letting you use their service.
Right.
So it's basically like going into their house and they're going, yeah, you could use our house. And then someone else comes in the house and shits all over the house.
Right.
And then all of a sudden they go, whoa, 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 we gotta batten down the hatches a little bit. We gotta put some plastic up. We gotta do this. We gotta do that.
Right.
You would understand them going at that point, like, well, of course. Like, but I just saw someone run in and shit all over their house.
Right, right.
So it's a weird, so like even the,
I get what you're saying. They are,
well, I'm going back, I'm trying to think, I'm going back to the example of PewDiePie.
Okay.
From, I think, like a year or two ago, where he's the biggest YouTuber.
Mm-hmm.
He should set the example.
Yeah.
And he was caught on stream, like, saying the N-word. And, like, a very...
How was he saying it?
He was playing a video game. He was like, ah, fuck, N-word. Like,
oh, he said so it, he was like, really saying it.
Like, he really, like, it just... It really fell so easily out of his mouth.
Okay.
And also, he likes to slip in, like, Nazi jokes. And then goes, wow, I don't get why people are saying I'm cultivating a Nazi fan base. Uh-huh. It's like, well, because you're slipping in these Nazi jokes. Like, yeah, but I'm not a Nazi. I don't. I mean, they're just jokes, right? Like, he's someone who doesn't get that, like, he's not looking around and going, like, I wonder why these Nazis are starting to follow me. Maybe I should look at what I've been doing.
Right.
And then because of that, advertisers came in and, like, YouTube canceled his, like, YouTube Red show.
So he was demonetized.
He was demonetized for a while. And it's like, it's one of those things where it's like, yeah, YouTube is not a public platform. You abide by their terms and conditions.
But it is, though.
That's the weird thing, because we all...
It's a ubiquitous thing. We all think it is. Like, look. We know now that Russia, or people, actors working in Russia, okay, used Facebook to influence the last presidential election. That's a big, big deal that Facebook should be responsible for, no?
Right. So, but now, how do we get them to be responsible? Is that the time now when the government steps in? Because then that's a weird line. To have the government step in and go like, well, okay, Facebook, you have to do X, Y, and Z now.
Right.
Whereas they could be self-regulating. I think the smart thing is that these companies need to get good at self-regulating. Like, make themselves the authority and get the public, get that public trust.
But what do you regulate? Like, all right, let's say it's a simple decision to say hate speech is off. You can't say anti-Semitic things. You can't use the N-word. You can't use, you know, any sort of racial thing. Any sort of racial hate speech or whatever. But, and God, I'm not supporting this. But, like, isn't what made the internet good, or the dream of the internet, was its freedom? And the idea of, like, anybody in a grassroots way could get a voice out there.
It's interesting, because then that brings up the situation of, like, well, yeah, we have free speech, but you can't yell bomb in a crowded building.
Right.
So it's like, yeah, we have the freedom, but if you know you're doing a shitty thing, but then at what line do you regulate something genuinely shitty?
Right, exactly.
And someone going like, look, I just hate this movie.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. Because my fear is, once you start regulating content that way, I feel like that leads to the end of net neutrality. Because, like, look at the YouTube example I just gave you. YouTube said, what we've been doing with Brie Larson is we untagged her from all of this negative shit. Mm. And now when you YouTube Brie Larson, you get her CBS interview and her NBC interview.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, so you replaced YouTubers with mainstream corporation content.
Yeah.
And I'm not for some fucking MRA talking shit and being evil and hateful about it. But at the same time, what I wish could happen, and I don't know how this is even fucking possible, but what I wish would happen is you could have a balance. Like, you can get half and half. Like, I was trying to look up information on the creator of, was it Spider-Gwen or Gwenpool? One of them. But you can't find it because she was dragged into the Gamergate, Comicsgate thing. Mm. So literally, I was trying to find anything from this woman, and all I saw was pages and pages of
just fucking neckbeards. Yeah, exactly. Talking just about
people hating her.
They hate her.
So it's like, I wish what I could have had was like half and half. But then it's like, well,
it's like, YouTube, how do you even do that?
Yeah, YouTube can't go through content and say this is nice content, this is not nice content.
Yeah,
it's really complicated. It's a really complicated issue. I'm not suggesting like I know any answer, but it is. It is a thing, and just talking about trolls in fandom, like, I don't know how you stop them. By the way, the name of the article that I was referring to is, it's from the AV Club. It's called "The Fight Against Trolls Goes Beyond Captain Marvel, YouTube, and Rotten Tomatoes" by Alex McLeavy.
I'll say this. I think that people are starting to wise up a little more to the trolls. Because I think from like The Last Jedi up till now, I think you see a big difference. I think when The Last Jedi came out, the trolls genuinely influenced a lot of people.
Oh, absolutely.
I think so. Because I think people were maybe a little hesitant about the movie already. Mm-hmm. And then they see a bunch of people going, oh, this sucks. And because maybe that was skewed by a lot of trolls, that reinforces this idea that, oh, everyone thinks it sucks.
Right.
But I think with Captain Marvel, what you're seeing is that people kind of shrugged it off a lot easier this time.
Right, right.
Where I saw a lot of pushback where a lot of people weren't going, and this I think is the big difference between this and the lesson from Ghostbusters, mm-hmm. is people were not as much going to Captain Marvel saying, I'm going because I am supporting a female being in the lead of this movie. And they were going, fuck you, this looks like a fun movie. You're not going to stop me from seeing it.
Yeah. It didn't become politicized on every angle. It was just politicized by those who hate it, and everyone else was like, I want to see a good Marvel movie.
Yeah, and honestly, I feel like the people who saw it, it was a pretty easy watch.
Did you see it?
No, I didn't see it yet.
I saw it.
Was it good?
I liked it. The beginning is a little shaky, but then it gets real good.
That's what I heard. And everyone who saw it tends to be like sort of pointing and laughing at the people
right.
who are making fun of it and being like, ah, look at these guys wasting their time online. Like,
right. When I saw it, everybody was enjoying it. And right when it was over, I turned to my friend and I said, I feel like that was a missing piece from the puzzle that I didn't know was missing until I saw it. Like, it's like, oh, this is a big part of the Marvel lore there. Yeah, it's good. I don't know. Like, that's the thing. How much does this really affect?
Well, because
even Solo made a lot of money. Like, people talk about Solo, like, oh, everyone hated Solo. Solo was, you know, it dealt with the, but Solo still made a lot of money.
You know what I see? What the number one thing about Solo is, I see on Twitter for people watching it after the fact now.
Yeah.
People watching it and going, oh, that was actually pretty good.
Yeah, it was a fun motion picture.
Yeah, it wasn't something to get worked up about.
Right, exactly.
Like, I've got to go to work tomorrow. I'm not going to waste my time, like,
but it's the weird thing, because it's like anything can get radicalized online. You know what I mean? Like
Well, because the haters then go, because, like, they'll look at me mm-hmm. saying, oh, I just want to enjoy a movie.
Yeah.
If I don't, it's no big deal.
Mm-hmm.
And go, what? So you don't hate things? I'm like, well, no. If I hate a movie, I'm going to hate a movie. But I'm not going to live my life like, I'm not going to run home from a movie theater and go on Rotten Tomatoes and be like, I need to get this out there right now.
But the Brie Larson thing, it wasn't just that it was a movie with a female lead. It was a movie where the female lead in a press junket said, you know, every reporter I've seen today has been a male. Aren't there any female reporters that I can talk to? And that was what really set people off. Because if you just suggest that other people get a little taste of the pie, you are attacking males.
Yeah, that means you want every man. You want no more men.
It's Gillette all over again.
Fucking Gillette controversy. I remember watching that commercial and just being like, yeah, this is like a classic empowerment advertising. This has been a trope in advertising for years and years and years. The classic, we're marketing to men. Okay, hey men, we could be better. We could be great. You know, let's pull up our bootstraps and do this together.
Right.
Like, that used to be, like, big time.
What's so radical about it?
Yeah, like, what's so radical about it?
Because all that happens in it is, like, they say, like, don't let your kids fight. Don't catcall. It's not that radical.
Yeah, like, are you pro catcalling?
Well, that. Oh, anyway, I don't want to get back into that. All right. Well, we solved it. All right, let's move on to Trailer Corner. Shazam, who by the way also was named Captain Marvel originally,
up until like 2011. Or
yeah,
something.
Yeah. There was two Captain Marvels, one DC, one Marvel.
Yeah,
and it was a whole thing. But now it's Shazam. Well, the Captain Marvel always said Shazam to become Captain Marvel. Now they just call him Shazam.
Yeah.
So, Shazam with fucking what's his name from Chuck?
Chuck Levi.
Zach Levi. Everything I see of this movie makes me feel like this looks like a home run.
Yeah, I honestly don't know what to think of it, because it's not. It's one of those things where he's not necessarily a name guy.
Right.
I mean, he is, but he's not.
A smart move.
I think it's a smart move as well, but I wonder if they could be, like, underplaying their hand a little with Shazam.
What do you mean?
Like, Aquaman came out and was this huge success, because they had built it up and built it up and built it up, and it actually kind of delivered to a lot of people.
Liked it. I didn't love it. I thought it was okay, Aquaman.
Yeah. It was. It was okay.
Yeah.
But it made all the money.
Yeah.
Shazam, I feel like it's going to be the opposite, where you might love Shazam, but I don't know if it's going to make all the money.
All right. On a scale from Aquaman to Wonder Woman, where does Shazam lie in terms of both quality and how much it makes?
I'm going to say, this is a tough one, because now that Aquaman's been a success,
yeah,
will that, because Marvel has the clout to be like, hey, these last three Marvel movies did great, and if I can catch them, maybe I go, maybe I gotta catch the next
one. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if DC has that clout yet.
No.
So, like, it's kind of a toss-up for me whether someone thinks, like, oh, Aquaman, that's a DC movie.
Kind of on Shazam's the fence a DC movie. As to whether or not the DCEU is a thing.
Right. I don't know. I feel like it's going to... If I had to plant my flag in, I would say it's going to do around, like, Suicide Squad, probably.
Okay. Oh, did you hear Suicide Squad 2 is replacing Will Smith with Idris Elba as Deadshot?
That's a glow up as far as I'm concerned.
That is very much a fucking upgrade. To me, it looks funny, which I like. I like a funny superhero.
Mm-hmm.
I get really tired of self-important, take itself seriously superheroes.
Yeah.
I like a funny hero. So I love Deadpool.
Mm.
It looks funny. It has the sort of charm of the movie Big. Because the idea is Billy Batson is a kid and becomes this adult superhero, right. But he's still a kid in his mind.
Mm-hmm.
And just going back to the trailer, I love the use of Eminem's Hi, My Name Is. It brought me way back to, God, I remember I was getting ready for I was getting ready for high school. And I had MTV on. It was the 90s. And I saw that video for the first time. And I heard Eminem's name for the first time. And it was like, here's this new guy. And it really was like... Holy shit. Like, this is amazing. And it brought me back to that. Yeah. Then I went and listened to it, and I was like, wow, there's some real problematic shit in this. He says, like, I'm gonna rape a lesbian.
Oh my God.
He also says, like, I'm gonna fuck the Spice Girls. I was like, wow, that's the 90s.
Yeah, that's like, we were talking in the last episode about Ace Ventura.
Yeah.
Someone brought up just the other day... that they had, like, gone back and rewatched Ace Ventura, and yeah. It was someone on Twitter, and they were like, holy fuck, this movie's problematic.
Well, the whole end is just transphobia.
Yeah, that's what they said. The whole end is like, they find out she's man.
Everyone throws up.
Yeah, everyone throws, like, the cops are throwing up.
Everybody's throwing up.
He does that thing where he, like, runs into the shower and, like, cries.
Right. He chews a bunch of gum. He puts the plunger on his face.
Yeah, it's like, holy shit.
Yeah, so sometimes you can't go back.
Yeah.
But anyway, I like the use of it. The way it was cut into...
Oh, yeah.
And the way that, like, they did that thing where it was... They made it both diegetic and non-diegetic. Mm. Like, you hear it on the girl's phone, and then it's in the background of It reminded me a little bit of the way they used Why Can't We Be Friends in the Hobbs and Shaw trailer.
Yes.
They've been doing good with using classic classic songs and trailers lately. It looks like fun, which is what it should be. It's about people dressed up like... fucking superheroes.
Yeah.
For fuck's sake.
Now, I have a trailer that is not on the list.
Go ahead.
And
Wait. Let me check the bylaws. This is this is highly irregular.
Because I don't know. Because if we,
if this were Parliament, people would be shouting at you.
I know. He's going to get shut down like Brexit.
All right, Ben.
Like,
you could slip it in, but this is highly irregular.
Okay.
I'll allow it.
Because I should have brought it up before because... Okay, you'll know why I'm bringing it up.
Okay.
The Tolkien trailer.
Yeah.
Have you seen this?
Yeah.
Okay, so we can't talk about it. It's...
That was on the list. I sent that to you.
Okay.
That was totally sanctioned.
So that's... Okay, so clearly I'm remembering it. I'm going to be honest. I watched all of these trailers at like 1 in the morning.
Sure.
So that's probably where I'm remembering it from.
All right.
Okay. So let's talk about Tolkien.
Let's talk about the Tolkien trailer.
Yes. Thoughts? I don't know what to think about it. It feels like... Can we use certain things in this movie? Can we not use certain things in this movie?
You mean Peter Jacksonisms?
Yeah, or just like Lord of the Rings properties in general.
It feels like in its font and in some of its imagery,
right. It's
trading in on the Peter Jackson visuals.
Right, but then there's like parts that seem like it's like his imagination going wild.
Right, you see like...
Like a dragon will pop out.
Right, but it's just like fire in World War I, but it looks like a dragon to him.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, my thinking is two things. One, it looks kind of cheap and chintzy.
It does.
And two, is there enough there?
It,
he fought in World War I, and he was good friends with C.S. Lewis, and was in a group of writers.
It feels like they're making a lot to do
of the friend group.
Yeah, like we have a friendship. No,
a fellowship.
Yeah, like it's like I don't know if that conversation ever happened. The ring.
Yeah. I mean, I know he was in a group, and they were like, they were just, you know, but they were like a D&D group. They sat together and talked about dragons. Yeah, you know, like, is that enough to make a movie about?
Yeah, like...
That's like someone making a movie about us making this podcast right now.
Yeah, like, my understanding of Tolkien, and maybe he had a super charismatic life, but I don't think he did. I think he just sat around writing all the time.
He created his own weird language. He was a professor of linguistics. He fought in World War One. He had a wife that I think there's some drama around his wife, like she was too young for him, or her family didn't like him, or whatever. But still,
it feels like there's not enough there. Like
I hope they go like way into like the '60s, where he's old, and like Paul McCartney calls him up and says, like, I want to make a Lord of the Rings movie with the Beatles. And he's like, no. I want that in.
I want to see the scene of him rejecting Paul McCartney.
Yeah, I want to see him hearing that his book has become popular with marijuana fiends in America and being like, so distasteful.
Yeah, like, he was a pretty conservative guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, people forget that he's not fun.
Yeah,
he's not a fun guy for a movie.
I don't know. I'll see it. And who's the kid who plays him? It's the guy. It's the same fella who plays Beast now in the X-Men movies.
Ben Whishaw.
I'll take your word for it. I'll check internet movie database.
He reminds me a lot of at least in the marketing of the Dark Tower movie.
Ooh.
Where it's like, here's all these Stephen King references. It's like, yeah, but what about this movie? Here's all these Stephen King references. It's like, yeah, but...
No, Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt.
Nicholas Holt plays Tolkien. It reminds me a little bit of... And I like this movie, so don't get me wrong. But it reminds me a little bit of On the Basis of Sex.
Oh, yeah.
Which was the movie based on Ruth Bader Ginsburg.
Mm.
I think it was a good movie, but I think she deserved a bigger movie, a better movie... And it was kind of a cheap little movie.
See, it reminds me of that Stephen Hawking movie that came out like
yes,
a year ago.
Yes, it totally has that vibe too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that was another one that like, okay, he got a divorce from his wife. That's like the most interesting thing.
What they always do is they turn their spouses into like an epic love story, which it may or may not really be true.
Yeah, I just don't need to hear about Tolkien's love story.
Yeah.
You like my dragons? I made my own language.
I hope the whole soundtrack is by Imagine Dragons. Just the whole soundtrack.
That would be like a modern...
That would be like if it came out in the 90s, and they'd put out an album, and the album would just... It wouldn't say soundtrack, it would say music inspired by the film Tolkien.
It would be like Seal on it.
Yeah.
Be like a weird mix of like Seal, The Flaming Lips, Sunny Day Real Estate. It would just be the Batman Forever soundtrack.
Will Smith would have a... would have a fucking song on it that's like Tolkien. Talk about Bilbo. Be nice.
Wild, wild dragons. I'm thinking like the Batman Forever soundtrack where they have the
I had that.
The Method Man song for the Riddler.
Oh yes.
Like it's the Riddler. It's like
yeah.
And they say that song's great because they sample the like 60s Batman theme.
Oh my god. Yeah. So Tolkien. Yeah, I'll see it.
I'm not going to run out to see it.
No.
If MoviePass was still a thing.
Maybe. I've got AMC A-list, so.
How is that? Because someone at work
it's 20
got
bucks
it,
a month.
And they say it's amazing.
You can go 3 times a week. It's basically unlimited.
Great.
And you're allowed to do any kind of like IMAX, whatever.
Oh, you know what I want to see? It's in IMAX right now.
What?
Apollo 11.
Yeah, I want to see that too.
Yeah.
I heard that was good. So the last trailer we looked at was Batman versus Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Whoa, worlds collide.
TMNT. What is it? It's not that. It's T-U-R-T-L-E. Power.
Yes.
T-U-R-T-L-E.
T-U-R-T-L-E.
That was a hell of a soundtrack.
Yeah.
The first two. All right. So it's an animated film. I thought it was Kevin Conrad or whatever his name is. It's not. It's somebody else playing Batman.
They're going to have to get new people eventually.
Yeah. One of the weirdest voices in it is Rachel Bloom from Crazy Ex-Girlfriend is Batgirl.
Yeah.
So basically, from what we can tell from the trailer, it's animated, of course. It's a DC animated movie, which I think those are...
They're usually pretty good. They haven't been as good.
Hit or miss. Some are great.
They haven't been as... There was like a run when they first came out.
Yeah.
Where they were just like banging out cool ideas.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And now they've kind of slowed down. I heard the Batman Ninja one was okay.
I fucking loved it, but it is insane. It's... You just gotta go in expecting just the most bananas thing. Gotham by Gaslight was also kind of good.
Mm.
So, all right, it's Gotham City, and I guess Shredder comes to Gotham, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles come to Gotham, and they butt heads with Batman, and there's a cool scene where you see them all trying to fight Batman, but he sort of kicks all their asses.
Yeah.
Ra's al Ghul and Shredder get together, which kind of makes sense to me.
I think. I was happy to see that in the trailer.
But then they were like, we're going to go to a man who can help us, and it was the Joker, and it's like, guys, can we leave him out once? Why does everything... Like, I love the Joker. He's one of the best characters ever, but like... You know, does he have to be involved in every single
thing?
How
can I love you if you don't go away?
Exactly. Like to me, Ra's al Ghul and Shredder together, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
One's immortal, the other one is not immortal.
I see penguins in there too. Fine. Throw penguin in there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a scene where you see Penguin, like, and his goons attacking the turtles.
Also, complete Batman sidebar.
Yeah.
Bat bar.
Mm-hmm.
What is going on with the TV show Gotham?
I have no idea. I jumped off that train a long time ago.
It's apparently in its final season.
I think Bruce Wayne is Batman now. Yeah.
And like,
and there's a Joker now too.
And there's a Joker, and like all the villains are just like, it's a Batman show now.
Yeah, but there was like a switcheroo with the Joker that was like, hey, the Joker, but no, he's the Joker.
And yeah, you got a twin brother.
Yeah, yeah. Like Jeremiah and Jerome, I think were their names.
Yeah. Also, speaking of DC TV shows, RIP to Arrow.
Well, it had to end sometime, right?
Yep, 8 seasons. That's pretty good.
I've been watching Doom Patrol. It's awesome. So, all right, let's look at the talent here. Tara Strong is Harley Quinn and Poison Ivy.
Yeah.
A given, of course. She's amazing. Rachel Bloom is Batgirl. Tom Kenny, SpongeBob. AKA SpongeBob, as the Penguin.
Mr. Show's Tom Kenny.
Troy Baker is Batman and the Joker.
Ooh.
John DiMaggio is Mr. Freeze. I'm sure he's done that role before. Carlos Azaraki as Bane.
Oh, I like him.
Kyle Mooney from SNL as Michelangelo.
Oh my god.
Baron Vaughn as Donatello. He's
a
comedian.
Put in that SNL reference for after this, because I have an SNL thing that I want to bring up.
Eric Bauza as Leonardo. And I can't find Raph. But anyway, it looks good. It also it seems to have a sort of, you know, look, the thing with the DC movies are, they've usually, it's like cool designs with bad animation.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, we put work into designs and we spent a little bit of money to get, not stars, but good people to voice it.
Yeah.
And we got good directors to work with those people, but the animation always ends up looking cheap. And hopefully, the design looks good. Batman's wearing a blue outfit.
Good.
All of the 60s, which finally. I think is cool. But he's still, like, badass.
Yeah.
He's just got a blue outfit.
He looks like a mix of the Bruce Timm Batman and the, like, jokey Brave and the Bold Batman.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Am I going to see it? Sure. I read the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Meet the Ghostbusters comic. I'm
certainly
going to... Yeah,
why wouldn't you watch this?
I'm certainly going to watch this. I mean, who doesn't want this in their life? It's the same thing as Batman versus Superman. It's like, yeah. They're not going to verse. They're going to verse each other for a minute, and then they're going to team up.
Yeah, Batman's not going to murder the Ninja Turtles by the end of it.
That would be insane. That'd be a good what if.
What if Batman murdered the Ninja Turtles?
The turtles are an interesting look too, because it doesn't look like any of the animated versions that have existed before.
Right. It kind of looks like the comics,
and it's kind of DC-ish.
Yeah,
they're a little bit. They're not as Michael Bay bulky, but they're bulky.
Yeah.
I'm excited.
I want to see them start doing animated projects based on those Hanna-Barbera comics they've been doing.
You're talking about...
like the Flintstones and...
Oh, the Flintstones is really good. Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's just like...
Hyper-realistic.
And it's like, it's got like... It's a total SJW fest, and I say that with absolute love and respect. Like, there's like gay characters.
Oh, isn't like Snagglepuss gay in it?
It's like, there's like a really deep story of like the slave labor of the animals that like have to work for them and like what their sad lives are like. It was basically like they were like, let's take this Flintstones property, but like other than the names and a little bit of the designs, just redo it in a satirical way. Let's have it be this whole like simile for it, almost like the dinosaur show. Remember dinosaurs?
Yeah.
How like it was always about like modern issues but through dinosaurs?
Yeah.
For a second I thought you were gonna say that DC meets Warner Brothers miniseries that's been going on.
Oh no.
Those I didn't like except for Elmer Fudd with Batman.
Yeah, those weren't as good as I thought they were going to be.
Some people like they're great. Some of them are awful. Tasmanian Devil meets Wonder Woman was awful.
Yeah.
Martian Manhunter with fucking what's his name? Marvin the Martian sucked.
No.
I wonder. It better come right on DC Universe because I fucking pay for that. It better come the day it's available.
Go right to Netflix.
Oh motherfuckers! The day it's available, I want it. I want it. I want it immediately.
Yeah.
I pay for this. I love the Turtles. I'll always love the Turtles. Even, you know, the Michael Bay movies I enjoyed. We saw the second one together.
Yeah.
And we were like, that was a fun, stupid movie about talking turtles.
Yeah. Co-financed by
every Chinese company.
Yeah, like, what was that? Because it wasn't just, like, one logo. It was, like, 15
Michael Bay's
logos.
Big on that. Michael Bay's big on that. He does a lot of Chinese product placement, too, in his movies.
Mm.
I think the Turtles cartoon that's on now, Rise of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, is maybe my favorite Turtles property ever.
Really?
It's funny. They're all like 11 minutes long. They're funny. The emphasis is on comedy.
Because I know people who liked the last incarnation of the Turtles.
Yeah, yeah.
Who hate this one.
Yeah, I get it. But I also like Teen Titans. And a lot of people hate that. A lot of people hate like when you go funny with it.
Yeah.
I like when you go funny with it. All right.
Speaking of going funny with it, to take the pin out of that SNL.
Uh-oh. SNL and funny, what do they have to do with each other?
As sort of like a nod to Emilio Sparks, who is not here this week.
Vin did the sign of the cross.
he's alive. Maybe.
He's fine. He just says explosive diarrhea.
Yeah. He's just,
hit him up on Twitter and say,
I heard you had explosive diarrhea.
Yeah, hashtag diarrhea.
But remember, this is coming out in like a week or 2 weeks. So tell him, hey, I heard a couple weeks ago you had explosive diarrhea.
Hashtag diarrhea.
Yeah, hashtag. Then send them pictures of diarrhea.
Yeah. Yes, Vin, go on.
Okay, so this is a wrestling thing.
Okay.
Guess who, as of last night, is scheduled, or they're like heavily teasing, is scheduled for a like comedy match at WrestleMania.
Is it a current or former SNL person?
Current.
I want to say Alec Baldwin, but he's not really on the cast. I don't know if I know the whole fucking cast now.
It's...
Tell me Kate McKinnon.
No.
And I'll fucking watch it.
It is Colin Jost and Michael Che. Even though you're not even a wrestling fan, doesn't that just make you furious?
I fell asleep halfway through the word Jost. Their names. I was like, oh. Snooze. Well, that sounds super boring.
Yeah, I don't quite get it. Because, like, they did a thing.
Do those fan... Is the Venn, what's the Venn diagram there?
That's what I don't
because
get.
They're the news guys, which is typically more liberal jokes.
Right.
And wrestling fans, I mean, I'm sure they're liberal. I don't mean to disparage.
But believe it or not, if that's going to blow your mind. I wish I had the actual source, but they did a study in the past like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Out of all the like sports entertainment, like baseball, basketball, all the most liberal fan base. Wrestling.
Wow. Color me surprised.
Yeah.
Oh, maybe so. Maybe it is in their wheelhouse.
I still, even liberal wrestling fans, I don't think are buying into Colin Jost and Michael Chan.
I can't imagine that. I mean, that can't go on for more than a minute, right? They're not going to make a whole match out of that.
No, they're not going to win the tag titles.
Oh, my God.
Although, we made you watch WrestleMania last year and you saw a child win.
Yes.
The tag title.
Yes. I also saw many years ago Hulk Hogan take over the Tonight Show.
Oh, God, that's right. I remember that when he was in WCW.
Yeah. Oh, man.
And then Jay Leno did a match on, like, Nitro.
Yeah.
Oh, God. I remember. Oh, jeez.
That was so sad.
Remember when Jay Leno wrestled kids?
Yeah. Trump also wrestled.
Yeah.
And he's the president.
He's the president. He's in the WWE Hall of Fame.
Yep. Take that, Abraham Lincoln. You're not in the WWE Hall of Fame. All right, on that note, let's take a break.
Did cross worries puzzling yourself?
See, that's what I'm talking about. When you take the Johnny Blaze and you take that D and you pluck that D into the Bobby Steels, now you are playing with power. With power. I got your mind twisted. Unrealistic wavelength draining on your brain strength, inflicted crosswords puzzling your doubt, questioning your own mental health. Yeah, it's like a maze within itself. Yeah, check the grimy, slimy, criminal individual lobby, searching for the dark night, lurking in the shadows of the city. Hero with Jiggy, my crime committee, robbing every coffin, piggy bank blind. Take a journey through the mind of a rat.
Free money, not a problem. A price to get the ice, not a problem. A body for a price, not a problem. The red blood.
Once again, it's the mind bender. Three time felony offender. Demented. Brain cemented.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Man Children. Vin, welcome to the chill sesh.
Oh my god.
How you feeling? You feeling chill?
I am feeling very chill.
So, what you been doing? What you been reading? What you been watching? What you been consuming?
Oh my god.
What you been making?
Oh my god.
Well, you have a podcast too.
Yeah, Anytime with Vin Forte. Go check that out on the internet. You can follow me on Twitter at Mighty Vin.
There you go. How's that been?
That's been fun. Mm-hmm. We're on a hiatus right now, but in a couple weeks, maybe by the time this airs, we'll be back doing the special. Special about Brett Davis. It's a show that we film in New York City and gets put on YouTube.
New York City.
If you're in the city, it's on
Concrete Jungle where dreams are made of.
I hate that song. It's my least.
Because of how grammatically wrong it is?
Yes, like the way she sings it, like it's like a weird tick for me.
I mean, it makes no sense. Concrete Jungle where dreams are made of?
There's nothing you can't. Also, the line right after that, big lights will inspire you.
Big lights will inspire you.
Like,
yeah.
It's like she's stretching the inspire phonetically, and also no one's inspired by big lights. Shut the fuck up.
I am. And I was as a kid. I remember as a Staten Islander, I'd go to the city and I'd see all the big lights.
You go see the Christmas tree every year.
Absolutely.
See the Rockettes.
Have you been enjoying the R. Kelly memes?
I've been... Listen, I watched that interview like 5 different times.
I watched it once and then I watched it again with a body language expert explaining both Gayle King's and R. Kelly's body language.
Let me guess. I'm going to assume that him punching his fist while standing in front of Gayle King means that he's a little aggressive.
Yes. Also, well, you know he what? Doesn't He's, answer. Also, he
doesn't answer any questions.
He doesn't answer any questions, and he sets himself up as a victim.
Well, you know, he's just guilty of having a big heart.
Yeah, and he also shakes his head no when he says yes. Like,
yeah.
Like, and the other way around too. Like, have you ever done this? And then he's like, he nods yes and goes no.
I mean, this is not like new revelations,
right?
This is,
but.
To recap, back in 1995,
mm-hmm.
he married a 15-year-old Aaliyah and then produced her album, which was titled Age Ain't Nothing But a Number.
Oh, boy. How did he marry her at 15? What country did he get married to her in?
America, baby.
How, though?
I don't know.
Are there, is there
signed off, I guess? Like,
oh, there might be a state that allows that.
Maybe.
Jesus Christ.
The state of, I'm going to give you a lot of money to marry your daughter.
Yeah, it's funny because it's like, R. Kelly and Michael Jackson, we've known this for years, but now in the wake of a Me Too world, it's like, all right, now let's take this seriously.
Also, the Michael Jackson documentary, for all the, I know people are coming out and like refuting some of the stuff in it, but a lot of it's really creepy.
I haven't seen it. Have you seen it?
I've seen the first part. And
Of the four part?
Yeah,
no, it's 4 hours, two parts,
two
right?
It's a lot of, you know what'll get you? It's nothing that like you haven't heard before.
Right.
But there's a lot more like candid footage of like, hey, Michael would call me on my birthday, and you'd see, and then they cut to like a video message of Michael being like, good morning, happy birthday. And it's like, why is he contacting these kids like this much?
Yeah. Fuck. I've been putting that off. Have you seen the R. Kelly documentary?
That I have not seen.
I haven't seen that either. I've been putting these things off because everyone says they're so disturbing. I'm still getting over Abducted in Plain Sight.
I was just going to say, most disturbing one has nothing to do with any of them.
Yeah.
It's Abducted in Plain Sight.
I'm still getting over that. You had a hot take on that. What was it?
Oh, that the parents were fucking the daughter.
Oh, right.
And that, like,
this... I don't know if I agree with that hot take.
And that this guy coming into their life, either he knew about it as well or, like, wanted in on it... Or, like, use that information against them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the parents were very, like, oblivious. Like, oh, we didn't know this was going on.
I don't agree with that. But I tell you what I do think. And this is not a hot take because other people have been saying it. I'm pretty sure the dad is gay. And was, it, like, wasn't just one hand job. I think both the dad and the mom were having an affair with a guy.
It could have been a three-way thing.
It could have been a throuple.
Could have been. But, like, fool me once. Kidnap my daughter once. Shame on you. Shame on you.
Kidnap my daughter a second time. Shame on
me. Yeah, kidnap my daughter a second time. Make her run off to, what was it, like a carnival?
Yeah.
And then enroll her in a different school and tell her aliens are going to kill her entire family.
Yeah, that's the weirdest part of the whole thing. I mean, it's all weird, but... Yeah. Sorry, I didn't mean to step on your bit. And also, you could sleep with... You could cuddle and sleep with my daughter if you want. That's okay.
Yeah, just come over and do that. And then, like... I want to know what this guy's wife thinks.
Yeah, that's the missing piece of the documentary. Yeah. She's got to know.
Yeah, she's got to
know what's going on. What's really weird is the dad plays so dumb, he acts like he doesn't know what a pedophile is.
Yeah.
Like, he's like, I didn't know. Like, you never heard of a pedophile? He's like,
back then, we just didn't know about these things. I'm like, really? Really?
You
like,
tell me this little girl. No, you tell me this guy likes little girl with pigtails. Yeah, Ice. He's a pedophile. You'll have to get used to that. John Mulaney.
I was like a big old horse in this hospital.
How do you feel about, speaking of horse hospital, how do you feel about Hillary Clinton reaching out to the youth?
Yeah, I saw that.
And quoting Horse and Hospital to let us know she's cool.
I saw that and I was like, where were you during the campaign?
Yeah, quoting John Mulaney.
Yeah.
So you've been watching the Michael Jackson documentary day and night, night and day. You can't stop watching it.
Can't stop watching it.
What else? Tell me other creepy things in it.
Again, it's a lot of...
Do they get good footage? Do they get good, like, stuff you haven't seen before on the Eat Your Hollywood Story?
Yes and no. Again, it's more, like, the amount of stuff that they have.
And, okay, yeah.
Like... The sort of big revelation in it is that one of the two kids who's now an adult, like, testified in the 2005 trial.
Testified for him.
Testified for him, and now is like, I was brainwashed. But, like, that kind of, people are saying that calls into question the whole story. Which I don't think so. I don't think it does.
Well, recently, R. Kelly's two girlfriends... were interviewed and they said he didn't do anything bad to us. Our parents are just trying to scam him. We're not brainwashed. And says someone nobody who's brainwashed.
Yeah, I love. Yeah, like there's a part in the interview with Gayle King where he's like, "I'm just trying to have a relationship with my kids."
Yeah.
And they asked his kids, and they're like, "We don't want any relationship."
You're killing
with
me
you.
With this shit.
Yeah, he's like, "You're killing me."
Oh, all those memes, like the fucking Uno one, where you drop the wild card. You're killing me with this shit.
Oh, yeah, like my reaction after eating a Popeye's biscuit.
And there's nothing to drink.
Yeah, there's nothing to drink. Like, that, like it gets so crazy, like, when he's sitting down, freaking out, and they're, like, putting makeup back on him.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't been to a bank in 30 years.
What?
Like, what? Like, he's like, I went to Bank of America 2 months ago. I didn't know what to do. I'm like, why are you telling us?
What does this have to do with anything?
I know he kept, like, trying to divert slightly to, like, make himself the victim.
Yeah.
Like, they're stealing my money. I'm like, but what about you raping these people? They're stealing my money. I'm like,
yeah.
Women are getting, like, I love the part where he's like, there are real women getting raped out there. Why would R. Kelly put people, like, in the third person?
Yeah, that's like, a weird thing, too.
Why would R. Kelly put someone in chains? Why would
use your brain?
Yeah, use your brain. Why would I count? Why would I need to do this?
The woman I saw who was the body language expert, she was also explaining that if you look at Gail King, she's thrilled. She's acting cool and calm. Oh, yeah. She's like, but this she's, is the biggest she's story like,
of my career.
She's like, I've hit fucking gold with this guy.
Yeah.
So
I was just palling around of Oprah 10 years ago.
Yeah, how did she go from Oprah's best friend to a celebrity?
You know what? I looked into this at one
she's
point.
She's a Today Show host, right?
Yeah. No, CBS Morning.
Oh, okay.
You're thinking of Hoda Kotb.
Yep.
Gail King, I think, was a journalist at one point.
Okay, so she wasn't just...
No, yeah, I think she was always a journalist. Mm-hmm. I think she just was friends with Oprah. And once you get in that orbit of Oprah, like Dr. Yep. Phil, like Dr. Oz, like Rachel Ray...
I think she's distanced herself from Oz, though.
Oh, yeah. I think as a lot
he's
of people,
gotten more like in trouble.
Scam, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, what was the thing like a couple of years ago? Like he had to testify before Congress or something. Yeah. That
I think he was doing work. A fucking Alec Jones and like selling shark pills or whatever the
yeah.
fuck.
He was selling bone meds.
Yeah. So you've been playing Tetris.
I've been playing a lot of Tetris.
Tetris 99.
Tetris 99. It's so fucking addicting. Like on a system where you've got like the latest and greatest.
Switch,
Zelda.
Yeah. I don't have Switch. Tell me about the Switch. It's convince me to buy the Switch. It won't take a lot. I'm very responsible with my money.
I mean, just the portability alone. And I don't even bring it outside. It's not even like, oh, I'm taking my Switch on the bus or something. Like, just, like, you'd be
just
shocked.
Just on the toilet?
You'd be shocked how many people just are like, yeah, I lay in bed and play my Switch.
Yeah.
So, like, just the idea, like, do that, then you want to go in the living room. Okay, you can dock it in the living room, now you're playing again. The selection of games is really good. They're doing a really smart thing right now yeah. where, in between sort of the big releases, like your yeah. Zeldas and your Marios and your Mario Karts, they're taking games that no one bought on the Wii U.
Yeah.
Because no one bought a Wii U.
And or knew like, what a Wii U was.
Yeah. And are, like, doing deluxe editions of them and re-releasing them at,
smart.
Like, half the price.
That's smart.
On the Switch. So it's like... You basically have like double the games coming out because nobody bought a Wii U.
So what, other than Tetris, what Switch games do you really like?
Mario Odyssey is really fun.
That's the one where...
you have the new hat mechanic where you can like throw your hat on enemies and then you become them.
Oh, that's exciting.
It's very exciting. There's a whole world that's like New York City looking.
Wow.
And you could basically like throw your hat on like a taxi cab and then like ride it. Ride around as a taxi cab.
You are the cab.
You are the cab.
Okay. What's the story of the game?
It's basically... you're not going to believe this.
Oh, God.
Bowser kidnaps the princess.
Again?
And
I thought in
go.
A post-Me Too world.
That couldn't happen? No. I'll give you a good spoiler, though. At the end of the game, the last level, you throw your hat on Bowser.
Yeah.
And then you become him in the last level. And you get to play as him, and that's really fun.
You finished it?
Yeah.
All right, these are spoilers, so skip ahead. How does that work?
There's like a part at the end of the game where you fight...
Do you just kill yourself? What do you do? I'm Bowser now, I'm going to jump over a bridge.
No, you're on the moon at the end of the game, and Bowser's about to marry Princess Peach against
oh, God.
Her will.
Oh, God.
And you you spoil the wedding. You like come in at the last second... And like,
like
no.
The graduate?
yeah, kind of.
Yeah.
And then like Bowser hits a switch and you like fall into the center of the moon and you have to get out.
Mm-hmm.
And like once you get out of there, you fight Bowser one last time. And then once you fight him, like the moon is about to explode.
Yeah.
And then in his weakened state, like you throw your hat on Bowser and you use him to like grab Princess Peach.
Okay.
And like get the fuck out of there. And then there's like one last level where you have to escape the moon.
Okay, that sounds exciting.
It is. It's really fun.
Oh, I want it. How much is a Switch?
I think for like just the base Switch is $200.
Not bad.
No, not bad at all. And it's basically got an extra controller built in. Like you don't have to pay $60 for an extra controller.
That's how they get you.
Yeah, that's how they usually get you. Now with the Switch.
Yeah.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe is really fun. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild is just amazing.
Is that a new Zelda game? Or
that's
is
a
it...
new Zelda game. It's maybe the best Zelda game.
Really?
It's
better than
huge.
Ocarina of Time?
Yes. It's like... It's so like... it's kind of like open world. Like, there's a section at the beginning of the game where you're, like, on a plateau that you can't get off of.
Yeah.
That kind of, like, you know, you're learning the ropes. Yeah. And then after you get past that, you get a paraglider. So then you're able to jump off the plateau and go to, like, the main world.
Okay.
And then once you get to that point, you could run right to the castle and fight Ganon if you want to.
You just go to the final boss right away if you want to.
Right away. You'll die. Unless you're, like, one of these, like, speedrunners or something, or, like, crazy.
Oh, that's cool.
But, like, you have complete freedom.
Okay.
Like, you can go anywhere you want, do anything you want. You are equipped for any situation. Like, you have powers that you get at the beginning of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you have this, like, magnetic power where you're able to, like, you have Magneto powers.
Okay.
You could stop time, and then, like, there are puzzles that you do where, like, you'll see, like, a wrecking ball kind of thing. And if you freeze time at the right second and then, like, keep hitting the wrecking ball before time resumes, like, that'll build up pressure.
Uh-huh.
And it'll, like, go flying and, like, break through a wall.
Oh, wow.
So there's, like, all these, like, cool temples and, like,
gates
that you need to use your powers with.
That's awesome.
You can, like, go up to the ocean and, like, freeze water to make these, like, ice columns.
Okay.
To, like, jump on. Like, it's really, really fun. Like, really just, like, inventive stuff.
Wow, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. There's a Donkey Kong game that's really fun called Donkey Kong Tropical Freeze. That's
okay.
Like, it's basically like another Donkey Kong Country game.
Oh, really?
So if you like Donkey Kong Country.
Who doesn't?
There you go. Of course, the new Super Smash Brothers just came out.
I never got into the Smash Brothers series.
Yeah, I haven't bought it yet, but it looks fun.
Yeah.
Like, if you're into Super Smash Brothers, it's another one of those, but there's like, it's every, the thing with this new game is it's every single character that's ever been in a Super Smash Bros. Game.
Okay.
But, yeah, so it's
like
just
who? Like, who are the outliers?
It's gotten so, like, everyone.
Jeff Goldblum.
No, it's like everyone from, like, the Mario characters to like, a bunch of Pokemon to Pac-Man is in it.
What?
Mega Man.
Mega Man, that's
Solid
cool.
Snake is in it. Whatever oddball ones, like one of the Final Fantasy characters is in it.
Okay.
For some reason, like, just anyone who's anyone in video games, like, wants in on Smash.
Okay.
So, like, that's why, like, Pac-Man ends up being it. Sonic the Hedgehog is in it.
You know, speaking of Pokemans,
and then that's another game coming out later this year. The new Pokemon is gonna be on the Switch.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Pokemon Sword and Shield is gonna be.
Well, I'm super excited for Detective Pikachu.
I am too. These freakish Pokemon designs.
I like them. I like the way they look.
Yeah.
It looks like and I'm somebody who never liked Pokemon. It was, you know, it
passed you by.
It hit in America right around the time that I was becoming, like, too cool. You know what I mean? I was, like, 15. I was like, nah, I don't care about toys and cartoons anymore. I just care about cigarettes and jazz and driving fast. And, you know, so I missed it. And, but, you know, Detective Pikachu is just, like, it's got Ryan Reynolds. It's got cute little things.
Yeah.
Sign me up. I'm invested.
Yeah.
I'm into it. Can't wait. What other new movies are coming out that I'm looking forward to?
Medea's Last Funeral?
No, I was not as hyped about that.
Which
as
apparently
you might be.
I've heard is the last Medea movie?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I don't
buy
that.
Fucking believe it. I bet I'll do another Halloween. Boo 3.
Boo 3.
He did two of those. He did two of those.
Even when it doesn't say Madea in the movie, Madea can still pop up.
Oh,
don't
Madea is his Jay and Silent Bob, which brings me to...
Oh, maybe they'll cross over into...
Kevin Smith is making a Jay and Silent Bob movie.
The movie everyone asked for.
Yeah, Jay and Silent Bob reboot. And on his Instagram, I've been seeing, like, you know, a lot of sad old people wearing costumes from the
90s. We're getting the band back together.
Yeah, we've got...
Dante and...
Yeah.
Randall.
And Jay Muse looks so old now with the stupid hat. It's like, it just looks sad to me. Kind of like the way Dumb and Dumber 2. Like how that kind of looks sad.
Yeah.
Like this looks sad. He's also very thin now because after he had his heart attack, he went vegan. So now Kevin Smith is all skinny.
Yeah, the Kevin Smith allure.
Yeah.
is long gone for me. Like, yeah. there was a time where I think a lot of us were in it.
Well, I see young students that are still very into it. I think he
is... Are they still into it, or are they discovering...
They're discovering it. No. I think you have to be 13 to like him.
Right.
I think you discover him, and it's like, whoa, so cool, and then, like, you grow out of him. He's a phase.
Yeah.
And I'm just so, so beyond that phase that... And I also... I've seen none of his, like, weird horror movies. So those might be good. I don't know. Red State or...
I did not like Red State.
Really?
I couldn't tell you why. It kind of like just came and went for me.
Yeah.
I've heard Tusk was okay.
Yeah. Yoga Hosers?
That did not look good.
That looked like a weird sci-fi version of Clerks.
And like, hey, my daughter can act.
His daughter's also one of the talking heads on DCEU.
Of course she is, because she's fucking named Harley Quinn.
Yeah. They do, every day they do DC Today, which is like every day it's a new show on what's going on in DC, and she's one of the people there.
Well, I'm glad nepotism's not dead.
Yeah. Well, you know, you named Harley Quinn. Come on board.
It's your destiny.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Jay and Silent Bob reboot, it does feel sad. And like, isn't this another project where he said he's been doing projects for like the past 10 years mm-hmm. that I feel like they've been in production. And I feel like I've heard, like, oh, this...
Clerks 3, Mallrats 2.
Yeah. Hit Somebody.
Yeah.
Which, that's the one I was the most looking forward to, because that seemed like it was out of his...
That was the hockey movie, right?
That was going to be, like, a hockey series on IFC.
What the fuck happened to that?
I don't know.
I thought they were, like, shooting that.
That's the thing. Like, I feel like Prince, does he have a vault with all these projects?
He's one of those people that would announce that, kind of like Quentin Tarantino would be like, I want to do a Jason movie.
Yeah.
And then it wouldn't happen. Or I want to do a Star Trek movie.
That's like on the DVD for the 10th anniversary of Clerks.
Yeah.
There's a
Clerks
whole.
Clerks X.
Because we're, yeah, intense. Yeah. He does a whole tease for him doing the Green Arrow movie. Wow. Or not Green Arrow, Green Hornet.
Which he didn't do.
Which he ended up just not doing.
Yeah.
So it's like
I forgot about that one. That was one that he talked up for a long time.
Yeah. And he put a whole thing on one of his DVDs about it. And now in hindsight, it's like, well, you didn't do it.
Yeah. Yeah. And what, Mallrats 2 was also going to be a series, right?
Mallrats. And like, I thought that filmed already. I totally heard stories where like, oh, we closed down the mall and like.
What's he know about Weinstein? How come not? I feel like nobody's asked Kevin Smith his opinion on Weinstein. Maybe they have, but I haven't heard it.
I don't know.
But he doesn't know either. He wasn't around with QT and hanging out and doing. He's another one like Kevin Smith who was like, boy, when you're 14, you're like, Quentin Tarantino, the coolest man ever.
Yeah.
His movies fucking rock, man. And then you grow up and you see good movies and you're like, oh, this guy sucks.
He's just taking this from this.
He's just a sort of like. He just is a sampler, you know. His movies are montages or collages of other people's stuff, but not even like in cool ways. I haven't liked him in so long.
I did not like The Hateful Eight.
Neither did I.
What
I just feel like he goes. He sits down and he goes, "Now, how can I write the N-word today?"
Yeah.
And he starts with the N-word and he works backwards from that.
I know Django Unchained.
Yeah, Django Unchained is probably the last one I liked, but I didn't. I saw it once and I liked it, and I never saw it again.
Yeah, I never saw it again either. Inglourious Basterds, honestly, for as much as that was like, I guess, his comeback,
yeah,
I didn't really care for it.
I didn't like it when I first saw it, and then I saw it again and I liked it more.
I feel like Tarantino's at his best when he doesn't really give a fuck.
But that's the thing, now he gives a lot of fuck. Like, now everything he's been doing has been like 4 hour long, like. Fucking costume dramas.
Like, Kill Bill, I think, was probably the height of Tarantino.
Because it was just an insane... It was just, like...
There was a lot of, like, good hype around it, and then it actually delivered.
But also, like, in terms of, like, I'm gonna quote every movie ever, just, like, the fucking train was off the rails. It was just, like...
It was a fun house of, like, let me take every influence I've ever had.
Right. And, yeah, I loved Kill Bill. I watched it again, like, 5 or 6 years ago or something. And I liked it still then.
Did they ever release... They had to have. The condensed version?
I don't think they ever released that in America.
I remember looking a long time ago on Amazon, and there were like versions from Japan.
Yeah, yeah.
He does this weird thing where like he'll cater to the foreign markets more than America for some reason.
Cause it's cool.
Cause it's cool.
He's so fucking cool. He's so rad. What's he doing next?
Him and his Hollywood friends like Robert Rodriguez and Harry Knowles.
Yeah. Harry Knowles. Oh boy, another one. Another creep I'm glad we're done with.
I know. His memoriam is just his website that hasn't changed its look for... It's really the Drudge Report of entertainment websites.
Oh my god, that's so true. If you don't know, Harry Knowles was an early movie blogger and was kind of influential in early, like, early pre-web 2.0.
He really was the Matt Drudge of
entertainment. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, he would just somehow get... Had, like, friends that would give him these scoops.
Right, and then he would, like, get in on... he started to be in movies and like have cameos, and he really jumped over the ethical line of criticism and artists like being in movies and then writing good reviews about the movies he's in.
Also, if you look back at some of his reviews, like talk about stuff that like doesn't hold up. Like it's very apparent now. Like someone linked to me, I forget what movie it was, but it started out with like a 2-paragraph thing that Harry Knowles wrote about like, oh, this horror movie is lacking one thing, like tits. Like, it doesn't have enough tits in it for a horror movie.
Great.
Yeah, great, Harry.
Oh, we haven't said yet, he had a Me Too recently.
Oh, it's right.
People were like, yeah, Harry Knowles.
The Alamo Draft House.
Yeah, thing. Yeah. Harry Knowles would grope people, so fuck that guy.
Yeah. It was like he would be in a wheelchair, and he'd be like, I can't move because I'm fat.
Yeah.
And then grope people. Wheel up behind women and grope them. Oh,
he wrote what I think is maybe one of the worst reviews I've ever read.
Oh, let me... Is this the Batman one?
No. This is the... somebody... Because Night of the Living Dead is in the public domain, so anybody can do whatever
exactly
they want.
Oh, I know exactly what you're talking
it.
About now.
Yeah. He loves Night of the Living Dead, and he loved it with his mother and his... Anyway, his mother died in a car accident. So he begins this review with... He talks in detail about having to go identify his mother's dead body burned in a car. And the horror of that. And it's very deep and it's very sincere. And it's just like, wow. But then he goes, and that had been the worst thing I ever saw until I saw
this colorized version.
Yeah. Until I saw this new. It wasn't colorized. It was somebody just added new scenes into it and made it really religious. It's terrible. He's right. It is terrible. But it just felt like gross. Like, dude, like... How can you do that to your own mother?
I know.
Like, all right, you and your mother used to watch Night of the Living Dead together, and you love that movie, but to take me on that journey and then
be like, it's worse than this
right
version of Night of the Living Dead I saw last weekend.
Right, to make that the intro to your fucking review of a fucking DVD release of Night of the Living Dead, really? It was so gross. But that was his thing. He was very gonzo. He was very bloggy. He was very, like, about me. Like, he was such a big part of it. He also wrote really dense, huge, apologetic reviews of all the Star Wars prequels. Remember, he was on board with all of them.
Yeah.
Even episode 2, he was like, he had a long review of, like, why it's great. And it's like, no.
Well, I remember his review, and this is probably, like, the last review I read of his... when Dark Knight Rises came out, and he was like, this is nothing like the comic book. In the comic book, Bane did this, blah, blah. Why didn't they just do the comic book? It's like, because it's a movie.
It's a movie. What the fuck are you talking about? That's not good criticism. Like, how is that? How can that be the basis of. You can't judge a movie by what it isn't doing.
Yeah. But he would do that constantly.
He sucked.
You do that constantly.
But I also worshipped him when I was 13. You know, in the early days of the internet, the early days of DVD, it was like Kevin Smith, Harry Knowles, Quentin Tarantino, Film Threat Magazine.
Yeah.
You know, IFC, when it actually was about independent movies on that channel.
I used to love IFC because I had cable in my bedroom.
Whoa.
I know.
Started from the bottom. Now you're here.
I know, like, it was a big deal when we got cable in my house.
Yeah.
Because they were like, oh, we have this extra cable line, where should we put it? And they were like, I'll put it in his room.
Nice.
And so I had IFC.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess my parents just didn't know that I had, like, full cable in my room.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I would get IFC, and, like, you would just see, you would see, like, I mean, we just went on, I just went on a whole thing about, like, how he was gross about titties, but now to be a complete hypocrite.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch it and be like, oh, shit, there's titties on this show.
Right. Well, you were also a little child.
Yeah.
And he was an adult man writing an essay.
Yeah. And I remember, and like, that was my first exposure to, like, non-mainstream movies.
Right.
And, like, some of those movies that they used to play.
Jesus' Son.
Oh, my God.
They used to play that movie nonstop.
They used to play that nonstop? They used to play that, the fuck was that Sandra Oh movie where, like, it's the last night on Earth?
Oh, I don't remember, but I know what you're talking about.
A lot of, like, really experimental shit.
Because now it's just, IFC doesn't even stand for, now it's just,
it's like, there's comedy shows.
Yeah, it's just like, we're just another content maker.
Reruns of that 70s show, right, was on there for
nothing independent about them. But back in the day, it was, like, independent movies.
Yeah, like, these movies that, like, you genuinely would watch and be like, yeah. What am I, and like, I don't fully get it.
They would do the England watershed hour thing, where after a certain time at night, it was, like, no restrictions.
Right.
And at that time, I was like, movies, I want to grow up and be a filmmaker. Yeah. And now, God, it's the last thing I want to do. I was actually at one of the schools I teach at in the film department, and I saw a kid. He was taking out equipment to make a project. And him and I guess a few students were lugging the, you know, they have where you get the equipment is on the second floor of this building.
Yeah.
And there's no elevator. Mm-hmm. So the kids have to fucking carry this heavy equipment down. And I looked at this student and I was like, I bet when you were a little kid dreaming of making movies, you didn't realize there's really a lot of carrying shit, huh? Because that's what it is. Making movies sucks. Imagine the excitement of movies. Making movies is not that at all.
No.
It's waiting around and just doing nothing.
Getting coffee for people.
No way. No way. Sometimes students are like, oh, are you a filmmaker? I'm like, no. Like, God, no. I like talking about movies and watching them. Who wants to make a movie?
You kids know who Harry Knowles is?
Oh, I'm glad they don't. I'm glad they don't.
You should show them a picture of Harry
Knowles. Because it was all such macho, toxic bullshit, too. And now I see a lot of young female.
But it was kind of disguised as, like, we're the nerdy outsiders.
Right. But it was nothing progressive about it. I mean, I watched Clerks, like, a couple years ago, and I was like, wow, this is just homophobic humor. It's just F-word this, F-word that, you're gay this, you're gay that, you suck dick. That's all it is. That's all the humor. And it's like, wow.
But, like, you don't remember it until you're watching it.
No, yeah, and at the time, I probably was like, ha, it's so funny, it's edgy. It's edgy, great. Now I'm like, oh, this is very problematic. And also, I think one of the reasons Kevin Smith doesn't work anymore is his whole thing was like 90s and slackers, and that's not what it is. Now kids are like voting and fucking tearing down the system.
Yeah, like trying to scrape by and
right. We're like, whereas like Dante and Clerks was like, I stopped going to school because I'm bored and I just sit around and eat Doritos. Like it was like the apathy thing of the 90s is not.
It doesn't work now.
It's not what young people like at all now. Because now young people are like, yeah, I have 5 jobs, and I also run a blog, and follow me on Instagram, and whatever the fuck.
Yeah, maybe in this Jay and Silent Bob reboot, Dante's going to be on the gram.
God, I can't imagine how sad. It's just another, like, Jay and Silent Bob strike back, right? It's just going to be
a cameo fest?
Yeah.
It's going to be in the same vein of Pauly Shore's Dead.
Oh, man. Ooh. Talk about independent features.
Oh, man.
Pauly Shore is dead.
You want to know what the saddest thing is? Have you ever actually gone to the Quick Stop?
Yeah, I have.
Is this, like, it's not, like, it's literally, like, zoom in on it.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, that's the Quick Stop. And then, like, zoom out to, like, the area that it's actually in.
Oh, it's sad. There's no giant Leonardo tower as there is in the cartoon.
No, and it's, like, literally, like, you're on the highway and then it's, like, right on the corner.
Right.
Like, you, like, from the movies, you think it's, like, in a suburban,
area. There's, like, a highway right in front of it.
There's a highway right in front of it. There's, like, abandoned housing across the street.
And it's tiny. It's a tiny, shitty little bodega.
Yeah, it was way tinier than I thought. Yeah. Like, the movie actually makes it look bigger.
Right. The movie does make it look bigger. You walk in and you're like, wow, this is tiny. Yeah. Sad.
I'm glad Kevin Smith is still getting enjoyment out of it. Well, he's going back.
Yeah, I went on that pilgrimage when I was a young film buff. Like, let's go to Jersey. Let's go to Red Bank, New Jersey. And
yeah, I had a friend who lived in Red Bank, and he was like, you want to go see the Clerks place? I'm like, yeah.
Go to, you got to go to his comic store, and then they'll give you a map to the Quick Stop.
That comic book store is...
His friends that are cameos in the movies will sign your DVDs.
I mean, Practical Jokers are there somewhere. That comic book store is... maybe the saddest fucking comic book store.
Yeah.
It's literally like a shrine to Kevin Smith.
Yeah, it's weird.
But it's like also a real, like it's a real comic book store.
You can but get I always felt like it didn't feel like a comic book store. It felt too bright. Like comic book stores, I feel like have to have like a sort of den kind
dungeon-y
of.
Dungeon-y kind of.
Yeah, like even like Midtown Comics, it's big and it's got two floors, but it's still like there's no natural light in it.
Yeah. You know?
Yeah, I never liked that store.
Yeah, it's too colorful.
I mean, I guess if I lived in that neighborhood, that's where I would go to get my comic books.
If you lived in Red Bank.
Yeah, I don't want to do that.
I remember on the drive over to the Quick Stop, a friend who was driving me around, he was also like pointing out every place. He's like, you know who lives around here? I'm like, who? He's like, fucking Queen Latifah.
Whoa.
I was like, whoa, name drop.
Jesus, pick that name up off
Kevin
the floor.
Smith and Queen Latifah?
Now that we've shit all over Kevin Smith, let's take a break, and we'll come back with Obsessions.
On the half shell, they're the heroes for. In this day and age, who could ask for more? The crime wave is high, with muggings mysterious. All police and detectives are furious, cause they can't find the source of this lethally evil force. This is serious, so give me a quarter. I was a witness, get me a reporter. Call April O'Neill in on this case. Hey, you better hurry up, there's no time to waste. We need help like Quick on the double. Have pity on the city, man, it's in trouble. We need heroes like the Lone Ranger. When Tonto came pronto, when there was danger. They didn't say we'd be there in half an hour, cause they displayed turtle power.
Welcome back to Pop Culture Management with PCMC. I'm Mike Buongiorno. I'm joined today with Mr. Vin Forte. Thanks for being here, Vin.
Oh, it's a pleasure.
Pop Culture Man Children is available anywhere podcasts are. That is your Google Play, your Stitcher, your Spotify, and of course, your Apple Podcasts.
Yeah.
And also follow at Pop Culture Man Children on Instagram. I always post updates on the show. I post all my toy collection. Speaking of toy collection, I'm giving away a lot of shit, and I have a gift for you, Vin.
Whoa, what?
Yeah. This is for you, Vin.
Oh, my God. That's a box.
Yeah, it's a big old box.
Ooh. What is this golden fertility? Is this what I think it is?
It's what you think it is.
Oh, my God.
It is a box that looks like a crate. And yes, inside...
There's some Argo in here.
Inside is a little satchel.
This is like heavy. This is...
Yeah. It's the... Basically, it's the satchel with the golden idol in it from Indiana Jones that Indiana Jones picks up and then
this
the boulder.
Is insane.
But look at the top, it's a candle.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. It's, if you remember the classic opening, him and Alfred Molina, he picks up the gold, he picks up the idol, puts the sandbag, thinks he did it, but then the boulder comes after him. That in candle form. That's for you, Vin.
Thank you. Made in Vietnam.
Yeah, of course it is.
This is amazing.
Yeah, I...
Why would anyone ever light this?
That's the thing, like, exactly. Like, just you know...
Keep it away from heat and, like...
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, you know, I, as you see around you, I've got a ton of shit, and I think at every couple of years, if you're a collector, you've got to go through and, like, go, what shit needs to get
cleared
purged
out?
Yeah, what shit... What t-shirts don't I wear? What trinkets don't I need? And as cool as, like, that is, it's like... I've
just
already got
around.
So much shit. You know what I mean? I've got a ton of shit. And I love it, but you know.
But yeah, what's Lucille Ball gonna think?
Yeah. So it's Obsessions. Let me tell you what my current obsession is. I am playing the PS4 version of Doom.
Ooh.
Which is
the 2016 like reboot.
Yeah, it's like a reboot. It's on Mars. but also hell. It doesn't make a lot of sense. But it's just a run and gun. It's just, you've got a bunch of guns. You keep upgrading your guns. You've got a ton of weapons. You just run through. Every board is basically just, you basically, there's no puzzles or anything. It's all just, you walk into a place, and that place has its own crevices and hiding spots and different terrain, and there's a ton of demons, and they come in waves, big ones, little ones, round ones, small ones, and you just beat them, you just kill them, or they kill you, and you just keep going, and that's how you keep going. And I find it very relaxing, I find it very fun. It is, it's just a fun game. I've been replaying levels just for the fun of, you know, it's always fun when you level up and then you go back to old levels
and you just,
you just easily fucking murder people with crazy guns.
Oh yeah.
So I've been loving that. And yesterday I was like, did they ever make a movie of it? And then I remember they did it like 2005 or something.
Yep, with The Rock.
The Rock. And even then it was a little too late, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. It was too late.
I think they're making another video game and another movie.
Did you watch Doom?
No, I didn't. I watched the trailer.
Okay.
I think I'm good.
Near the end, you should look up this one scene. It's a boring movie. Like, you don't, there's no reason to watch it. But
isn't, what's his name from Star Trek in it?
Carl Urban. Yeah. Yes. He's in it. Near the end of the movie, there's one scene where they go into first-person view.
Yeah. Oh, like the game.
Like the game. And it's like The Rock gunning down.
That's what the whole thing should have been. Like Hardcore Henry.
I was going to say, it should have been like Hardcore Henry.
Because that's what... Oh, it might not be the very first-person shooter, but it definitely popularized the first-person shooter genre.
Oh, definitely popularized.
It's one of the early ones.
Yeah, I would say, like, Wolfenstein 3D was probably one of the...
I've never played that, actually.
That's some fun. I remember that was...
That was rebooted, too, recently, right? Or a couple
years
ago. That
was rebooted several times. I think there was one on the PS2, and there was one that was rebooted a couple years ago. Yeah. And that one, like, doubled down on the, like... There's Nazis around here, and we gotta kill the like modern Nazis.
Okay, okay.
Double down on. So it took a very like SJW stance.
Okay.
That some people did not like.
Uh-oh. You know, I never, in the 90s when I was a kid, we had a PC, but I was not a PC gamer.
Oh, I loved
And I PC still am games. Not a PC gamer. Like, I have, like, I know some people are like Overwatch people, and like, well, it's like a whole different world of gaming that I'm not.
Well, I mean, there's not a huge divide anymore. Like, it used to be there were games that were, like, exclusively on PC.
Right.
And would, like, only run on PCs.
But aren't, like...
Now it's, like, Overwatch you could play on anything.
But aren't, like with Fortnite, aren't, like, the real Fortnite players the PC ones and they shit on everyone else?
Maybe. I mean, that's just PC Master Race talk.
Have you ever played, Fortnite?
No, I was never that big into, like, the Battle Royale games. I had a time where I was, like, big into PC games, and at the time is long past.
I can't play those games because I suck, and, like, I played, I have Star Wars Battlefront, and I played, like, once I went on and played, like, the multiplayer, and I just got beat up so bad.
And called the N-word.
No, somebody, not even that mean, somebody just, like, sent me a message, like, you suck, and I was like, oh, that hurts my feelings, so I never did it again. To me, a game has to have a story, a campaign mode, because if it's just that, it's like, I'm not going to play.
Yeah, I guess, like, Fortnite is a good example of, like, a game that doesn't really have a single player.
Right, mode. Right.
But yeah, I used to be really into, like, StarCraft for PC.
Uh-huh.
All the SimCity games.
Oh, really? You're into that?
I loved the SimCity games.
I can never get into... I was that guy, maybe I was just too dumb. I would just get bored and try to kill my Sims. I never got into it. What about Minecraft?
No, never got into Minecraft.
Some kids love that.
I know, it's the new Lego for kids.
Yeah, yeah. Well, what's your current obsession, Ben?
My current obsession, I've said it before, I'll say it again, it's Tetris right now. Because I was playing Tetris 99, and then...
You and Amelia get together, because he's obsessed with that, too.
And then, like, I went back and started, like, downloading ROMs of, like, some of the more esoteric, like, versions of Tetris for other systems.
Oh, really?
Like, there's a version of Tetris called Hattris. Where you're putting, like, different hats on people.
Do you remember Sex Tetris?
Sex Tetris?
Yeah, it was, like, different people. It was people in different combinations, and when they come together, they were, like,
fuck. Oh, yeah, they're like little cartoons. Game.
Oh, yeah, yeah, it was, like, 98 kind of like, oh, just download this stupid thing.
Oh, yeah,
it's
like one of these games where, like, it's Jez Ball, but when you break the pieces apart, like, there's a naked lady behind the wall.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It was stupid. It wasn't meant to be sexy. It was meant to be, like, you giggle at it.
Yeah. Like, who's really jerking off to that?
No,
like,
I don't... Not
like it's like the people that, like, when Tomb Raider was big, were like, I got this cheat code, like, put in Game Shark, and then you get, like, a naked Lara Croft.
Oh, boy.
It's like, you're gonna jerk off to those polygon titties?
Like, they're very pointy.
Yeah, I know. You poke your eye out or something.
They made a new movie of that I didn't see.
No, I didn't see it either. I was too busy playing Tetris. But yeah, I've been playing, like, there's some weird versions of Tetris.
Really?
Hattress, Wetris.
What's Wetris?
That's one that came that out sounds, for...
That sounds filthy.
It's basically, like, it's for N64, and you create, like, you have a landmass, and you have to create, like, gaps to have, like, water sit in.
Uh-huh.
It's really, it's not good. But
it doesn't sound like Tetris at all.
No. One of the better ones, two I've been going back to playing. One I had, I had both of these when I was a kid. Tetris Plus was really fun.
What was that?
The gimmick of Tetris Plus is each level, there's already, like, blocks on the Tetris field.
Uh-huh.
And there's, like, a little professor guy, like archaeologist guy, like, running along the Tetris blocks.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to get it so you destroy the blocks and he falls to the bottom.
Oh, okay.
So it's like a new little spin.
A little bit like Dr. Mario.
A little bit like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, yeah.
And then there was, for N64, I had Tetris Sphere.
Sphere? What was that?
It was literally like you're moving around a sphere, and you have to move blocks, and you had, like, weapons that you could fire at the sphere to, like, blow blocks away. And you had to, like, break these creatures inside the sphere, like, out of the center.
Is it good, though? See, it's like Tetris is a really good game, and it's like, it's not a franchise, yet they keep adding shit to it, and it's like, we don't need this.
Like, remember
Do I need to blow shit up?
Like, remember Tetris 2?
Yes.
Where they had the audacity to actually make a sequel of Tetris?
Yeah, but I forget what they did. They
made it more like Dr. Mario.
Yeah, they always add something to the gameplay that makes it not as good. It's sort of, you know, the real Tetris is, like, beautifully eloquent. It's just
perfect.
Like,
there's a reason that it's...
You know, it's like chess. Yeah. It's like a perfect, like, thing. You know what I mean? Like, it makes sense. You feel like this game exists. This game would have always existed because it just makes sense.
Like, the only way to really improve Tetris, to me, is improving, like, everything around the Tetris experience. Like, there's a version of Tetris out right now for... I think it's only out for PS4. So you might like this. Uh-huh. I think it's called... God, wait, it's like Tetris Experience or something.
Uh-huh.
And it's basically, you're not going to get this reference at all, but it's from the creator of Rez, which is a video game that originally came out on the Dreamcast. And it's like this super...
Whoa, callback.
And it's just like, it's this like space shooter, but it's like hyper, weird shapes, weird colors.
Uh-huh.
And it came with basically a vibrator. And like when you would shoot something, like instead of it being like a rumble pack, you would have like, it would vibrate the vibrator.
But
you, like, heard me.
But why, though? Oh, that's what that game was.
That's what that game was. And then this person got hired to make a new Tetris game this year.
No brainer, of course. Yeah,
and it's like the most beautiful looking Tetris game. Like, the music and the colors, like, go in time to...
Oh, really?
Like they move in time with each other and, like, your movements on the game board.
Have they ever done a Tetris where they're like, we're going to add a new piece?
No, the only, like, real innovation they've done of Tetris... is ever since I think it was like the new Tetris on N64, they now let you do two things. You can see where your piece is going to fall.
Uh-huh.
Like there's like a shadow at the bottom of the screen.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
And you can save and swap out a piece.
Okay, that makes sense.
But ever since, like, that's like the last real like innovation they've done of Tetris.
Right.
Like, there's not really many ways to change it up.
So how into it are you? How many hours a day are you playing Tetris 99?
Usually just, like, right before I go to bed, I'll play for, like...
Really?
A half hour or something.
Does
yeah.
it give you intense dreams?
I've heard
and I've experienced playing video games right before bed fucks with you.
No, it hasn't fucked with me yet. Maybe that'll change.
It's fucked with me. I tend to read before bed, but if I go from video games straight to bed, I don't know, I feel like...
But the games are in your dream?
Kind of. Or the energy, the intensity is my dream. Especially, like, shooting them up and stuff.
See, that only happens to me when, like, if I leave my laptop open and I'm, like, watching a video or something, and then, like, now I'm sleeping and the video is still playing. That's when my dreams will get fucked up.
Or, like, you were listening to a podcast and you fall asleep and you just, you feel like you're at a table talking to them.
I know.
And you keep trying to butt in, but they won't let you. You're like,
Or, like, the worst is when something on TV or in a YouTube video that you left on, like, won't stop. Like, it's something repeating that won't stop. Yeah. And you don't know what it is because now you're in a dream.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, if... I guess the old school example would be if, like, in the middle of the night, the emergency alert system goes off.
Oh, yeah. That would fuck you up.
And now it's, like, in your dream, and you're like... What is going, like the universe in your dream is like alerting you to something.
I can't tell you how many dreams Ron Popeil was in.
The Ron Popeil dream.
Yeah, man. The ShamWow dreams.
Oh my God, you're going to love my nuts.
You know what's funny? Like, I used to, this is going to make me sound like such an old man.
But no, I used to love watching infomercials.
I used to love watching TV. I used to come home, be like, I'm home now, turn on the television, put on the cable, flip through the channels, and, like, leave it on. And then I would go to sleep to it. Like, at night, I'd be like, oh, they're going to play 7 episodes of Roseanne. This is before she was a racist.
Yeah.
And you would just watch it, fall asleep. Like, now, I so rarely... Like, if I put on the TV, it's because I'm going to put on Netflix and I'm going to watch something I know I'm going to watch. I don't, like, channel surf. And I certainly don't have it on all of the time.
Right. Like, when I used to watch TV, I genuinely, like, didn't know what was on the TV. Yeah. Like, especially at nighttime hours when you're a kid.
Yeah.
If you're, like, up enough to be watching Cheers.
Yeah. It's a problem.
Like the rerun of Cheers, like, it's like, oh, either, like, you're homesick. Or, like, I remember when I was out sick for a couple months in the sixth grade, I ended up watching a lot of Food Network.
Okay.
And that meant a lot of Iron Chef.
Yeah.
A lot of Good Eats.
Good Eats is so good. I love that show.
But really a lot of Iron Chef.
Yeah.
And, like, even to this day, like, if I watch an episode of the original, like, Japanese Iron Chef,
yeah,
it will just take me, like, right back to childhood.
Really?
Yeah. A lot of TV Land I would watch when I was out sick.
Yeah.
A lot of fucking, like,
would you fall asleep Mayberry
RFD and Gomer Pyle and...
Oh, God, like, real old
Chico
stuff.
And the Man.
Would you fall asleep with the TV on?
Oh, God, yeah.
I did, too, and now I feel like...
I could never now.
Is that why I was so tired when I was in high school? Like, it doesn't seem... Like, how could you get good sleep with the TV on?
For me, it was... I would...
But I did it every night for years.
For me, now, it would be... I would watch... The first half hour of Conan, and then if there was a guest I wanted to see, I would stay up later.
Right.
But, like, after that, I would pretty much, like, zone out.
Right, but I'd still leave it on, and sometimes still on, like, just with the sound still on.
Yeah.
And now it's like, I would never do that. I would be like, even, like, if I'm laying down and my phone is near me and somebody messages me and I forgot to turn down my screen and I just see the brightness of it, I'm like, ah! It, like, hurts me. I don't know how I could have slept with so much information being zapped into my brain.
I don't know.
Then again, I still, like, I'll wake up in the middle of the night and then, like, look at my phone and just be on YouTube 10 minutes later and be like, what am I doing?
Yeah, so, that tends to happen a lot to me where I'll wake up at, like, 4 in the morning.
Yeah.
And then be like, I'll just watch one YouTube video.
Yeah.
It's, like, 6 o'clock and I'm like, well, I can't go back to bed now.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I love some, like, 3 o'clock in the morning me time.
Yeah, because you always think, like, oh, this video's 10 minutes, I'll watch this.
Right, right.
Ah, these videos are only 10 minutes, I'll watch 2 of these.
And then you're down a crazy rabbit hole and you're watching hydraulic press videos, and it's like, well, I gotta see what happens when he hits a bowling ball.
I know, I love the hydraulic press channel.
Yeah.
With that fucking Swedish guy or whatever he is.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, today on the hydraulic press channel... And we're going always, to break a bowling ball.
But, like, they always, like, make you wait for the one you want.
Yeah, they have, like, 5 other ones.
And it's like, oh, I don't care about this one. Yeah.
This animal is very dangerous, and we must deal with it.
Yeah. What kind of, I was talking about this with Janine a few episodes ago. What kind of YouTube stuff do you watch? Do you have any YouTubers that you like, or influencers that you like? Or
influencers? I watch a lot of, like, science YouTube channels.
Nerd.
Like, there's a lot of, Like, the Backyard Scientist is a pretty good channel.
Okay.
In the same vein of, like, infomercials, there's a guy who's, there's, like, this 50-something-year-old guy who does, like, infomercial reviews.
Really?
Like, infomercial products. And, like, it's just kind of fascinating because I like YouTube channels that, like, don't have any gimmicks or no frills, where it's just like, hey, I'm going to review, you know, Flex Tape today.
Yeah.
And I'm going to put it through its test, and, like, we're going to see if Flex Tape is an actual, like, good product.
Okay.
And it's like, that's really cool. And that guy's got a channel called Freakin' Reviews, and that's really fun. You also get, like, little glimpses into his life if you watch enough of his videos. I like those channels where it's like, you learn, like, oh, this guy's a single dad, and, like, clearly he's dying his beard, like, he's got some kind of midlife crisis. He seems to go to a lot of, like, rock concerts. Like, you learn little things about this guy's life. Like, it's always fascinating. Backyard Scientist is really good. King of Random is a little clickbaity, but they generally do fun stuff.
Do you ever watch Unboxing?
Which Unboxing channel?
I was super into a bunch of Unboxing channels for a while. I got into unboxings of subscription boxes, like Loot Crate things.
Yeah, and those, so, like, I would watch for a while. Basically the ones that, like, aren't Loot Crate.
Yeah, exactly.
A lot of some video game channels I watch, like Gaming Historian is very good.
Oh, yeah. You know what I used to like? Angry Video Game Nerd.
Yeah.
Not anymore, though.
I know. He's still popular.
Yeah, well, not with me. I guess I turned on him when he did that anti-review of the Ghostbusters trailer.
Yeah.
He was like, my review is, I'm not going to review it. I refuse to watch it. And then he just talked about
how he's a big fucking man baby.
Yeah, and it was, I was like, fuck this guy.
Also, like, rock. His movie sucks.
Oh, God. So sad.
He built that movie up like it was going to be the next, like, he's doing some Ray Harryhausen shit in this movie.
Right, right.
Like, anyone who donated to that movie, it's like, what did you think you were going to get?
Isn't Eddie Pepitone in that movie?
Eddie Pepitone is in that movie.
That's real sad.
But listen, you pay the money, you're going to get Eddie Pepitone.
All right, well, on that sad note, Eddie Pepitone's a great comedian, by the way. Go listen to Great Stillness.
Yeah.
His album.
Go watch Combat Shock.
Yeah.
See him shoot heroin.
All right, Vin, thank you for being here on Pop Culture Man.
Oh,
Children.
Thank you for the candle.
No problem. I'm Mike Bongiorno. You can find PCMC anywhere podcasts are available. We're going to go bye-bye now.
Go bye-bye.